Amen. Might say, hey, it's a little awkward starting off this morning. You're kind of standing on the side, you're using a handheld microphone. Yeah, a little messy this morning. But aren't you glad that we're in the presence of Almighty God? Would you pray with me? I want to ask the Lord's special blessing this morning on our time. Because I pray to meet you right where you are, wherever you are. And I want to give you the hand of Jesus. And my prayer is that we will all walk with him, holding hands, forever changed and eternally unified. This is one of those days where we're going to share a part of God's word that personally to me is amongst the most inspirational in all the Bible. And I have to be honest with you at the same time, I know it's one of the parts of the Bible that alienates more people away from walking with the King. And I can't get that. So I just come humbly surrendered and I ask that the Lord will do what only he can do as together we walk through his word and better come to understand his way. Would you pray with me? Lord, I do come to you now and I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bring your word alive in our hearts. Lord, I know that this is one of those days where what you say will be more caught than taught. I will do my best to teach and preach, to lead and feed your sheep. But Lord, I know this is going to come down to a personal decision. It's going to come down to a personal relationship. It comes down to the personal taste buds of one's heart. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, align the taste buds of every heart to want what you want. Nothing else. Help me, I pray, to feed your sheep today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, as I was preparing and praying for today's message, something came to me that perhaps has already come to you. You know, I might be a little late to this party. You may have noticed, as I did as I prayed, that I open up an awful lot of the sermons that I preach with questions. I like to find out where you're at. And honestly, I think it's a very healthy thing for us to ask ourselves where we're at. And what I realized was the reason why the Lord lays so many questions on me is that questions are the doorways through which application comes. It's a calibration and an application tool. And my prayer is that every time we come together and I have the privilege to preach and teach God's word, that you are encountering and being changed by the God of the Bible and the Bible of Almighty God. And with that in mind, I want to ask you this morning, as we continue in our series entitled The Way of God, as we look at the birth of the church, walking verse by verse through the book of Acts, I want to ask you this morning a very relevant and tangential question to the scriptures. We will be looking at Acts chapter 14, focusing on verses 21 and 22, just two verses today. I will take us back to verse 19 so that we have proper context, but in a very relevant and real way that ties directly into God's word, I want to ask you this question. Where have you been lately? Where have you been lately? And in a way that parallels Christ's first words to his would-be potential disciples when he asked them, what do you want? My question also can have significant impact in different areas depending on the inflection of your voice. Where have you been lately? Where have you been lately? I mean, literal physical proximity. Where have you been? You've been missing. Empty seats. brothers and sisters that are not linked together in worship? Where have you been? Where? And many of us would say, well, you know, hey, it's busy, it's summertime, you know, where, or, well, you know, church is church is church, and as so long as I'm in some place where we're doing some form of worship, or I'm hearing some degree of truth, it's all good, right? Where? I want you to know that where you are matters. Just because you're with a family doesn't mean you're healthy and with your family. Well, they're a family too, and aren't we all in? I want to ask you to ask yourself, where have I been lately? Where have you been lately? Where have you been lately? Well, our family is, oh, yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, well, our church goes, yeah, no, I get it. But you, personally. Well, where have you been lately? I ask it that way because many times you say, I've been right here. And how many of us will be honest enough to admit that sometimes you can be right there and be 1,000 miles away? Oh, I've been going to church. I've been in church. Have you been church? I know this painfully from my own life as one who can easily get caught up in the trappings. I'm a type A personality. I can get driven sometimes to the point where I can be there and not be there. And how about this? Where have you been lately? Well, you know, I was saved back in 1970. Yeah, I get that. I know where you used to be. Where have you been lately? I mean, like this morning driving in. This past week. Where have you been? You see, the timeless truth from the passage that we'll see this morning, while it has incredible application for you and me, what I pray that you and I will all take away is that it really matters where you've been lately. It matters to the God of the universe. It matters to the crucified and risen Christ where you've been lately. And the reason why it matters is because it's directly related to the focus of this passage. It's directly related to where you're going. I've entitled the message this morning, Where Are You Going? You see, where you've been typically begets where you're going. It's like a plumb line. Take two dots on a line and you put that line together and it sets out a path. It tells you where the trajectory will go. And sadly, the church of our day has a very, very dangerous, a terrible trajectory. Where it has been and where it is not very promising for where it is going. Not all, but those for whom a superficial surface commitment to Christ, a superficial and surface commitment to going to church rather than being the church. And as one who hears frequently, you know, you're over the top, that's too much, it doesn't have to be that way. My prayer is that as we again slow down and walk with God through His Word and see His way, way meaning the people of God, in their purest form, my prayer is that each one of us will be shaped by the truth, shaped by the blueprint of God. Again, I come to you and I say, let's go through God's Word together, each one of us. Let God speak to you Himself. And if and when you find what I say to be challenging or you think I'm wrong, I ask you to read the book. come back to God and His Word in the fullest context. And let us simply surrender and say, yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus, no matter what. I say that to you and I ask you, open up your Bibles and please bring them. Please let us walk through the Word of God together. Now, I want to give you some context as we come. And for those of you that may not be familiar with your Bible, let me back all the way up. Tremendous oversimplification, but let me just tell you, when we open up the Word of God, you look at the Bible in its broadest sense, we start with Creator God. Everything starts with Creator God. In the beginning, God created. Immediately after we see Creator God, we see the children of God. He creates those who are designed to be in fellowship with Him. That's you and me, Christian. It's a part of humanity. It's the greatest gift we have, as God has designed us in His own image to be in right fellowship and relationship with Him. So we start with Creator God in the Bible. We immediately see the children of God, and that becomes a very complex family as you read through the Old Testament in particular. But know this, it's all about Creator God, the children of God, and then we see the contamination of sin come in, and it breaks fellowship. And we see this played out over and over and over again until we see the coming of Christ. Creator Christ, crucified Christ, but it's Christ, the one and only. And from Christ, we are promised the coming back. Now, there's a gross oversimplification, but there's the context of the Bible. And if we focus in on the New Testament, we see, okay, well, here comes Christ. He came, right? From there, we see that He's crucified. From there, we see that He commissions His people upon rising from the grave and proving He's the Christ. He commissions His people. We see throughout the rest of the New Testament that those are commands, and they are clarified all the way back to the promise of Him coming again. Well, within the New Testament, we see a pattern and a context in the book of Acts, the birth of the church, the acts of the Holy Spirit, and the people's utter total dependence upon Christ and His Spirit. And here we see the pattern that begins with the person of Jesus Christ. It's Acts 1:8. It's Jesus who's speaking as He's about to ascend into heaven and prove once again He is the Christ. We see the person of Christ, followed by the promise of Christ, the promise of His coming Spirit, the promise of His power given to every Christian. And that power has a purpose. And that purposed power is proven over and over and over and over again through primarily His people. And it's proven through His people as they get busy proclaiming the gospel. And when they proclaim, the pattern we see is the persecution that comes to His people who are committed to proclaiming. And in the midst of that persecution, praise God, through the power that was given, we see the perseverance of the saints. First and foremost, through the winds and the struggles and the challenges of their day, but ultimately all the way to heaven to be with Jesus. Well, that's the pattern that we see, the context of the book of Acts. And within the book of Acts, we've come now to focus on the time where Barnabas and Paul are beginning their first missionary journey. They are now going out for the express purpose of taking what they have received and giving it, fulfilling the commission, obeying the command, being the church, and in so doing, extending the church. This is what we see. And in this, today, we will watch as Paul and Barnabas prepare to close out their first missionary journey. You see, today we're going to go to a place called Derby. We're going to go to Derby and a whole lot more. And my prayer is that you'll be blessed, blessed beyond belief, to see how you fit into this story, how the truths of this part of the Bible are your truths, friend, my truths, if we are truly Christians. So I ask you, please, come into this time and have the courage. Have the courage to ask, to answer, and to apply the four eternal questions that we will use as our outline to walk through this short but pregnant and powerful passage. Number one, where are you going? Number two, even more importantly, why are you going? Number three, what are you doing? What are you doing? And fourth and finally, what are you saying? What are you saying? Let's walk with God and His Word. And I want to recap last week and launch this week by being reminded where we are with Paul and Barnabas. We know that they left, they were sent out by their home church in Syrian Antioch. They went to the island of Cyprus. From Cyprus, they landed in Perga, but they went immediately up into the mountains of Pisidian Antioch. From Pisidian Antioch, they went to Iconia, and from Iconia to Lystra. And listen now as we pick up Acts chapter 14, verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul in Lystra, and they dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around, he rose up, and he went back into the city. And on the next day, he went with Barnabas to Derbe. That's where we are today. We're picking up now where we know that Paul has been stoned. We know that he immediately met with spiritual warfare when he landed on Cyprus. And yet God demonstrated a victory in winning the soul of the proconsul, of the governor of that island. And so in the first account, we saw the battle and we saw the victory is the Lord. Our God reigns here, there, and everywhere. And from there, we saw the movement now, the commitment to the gospel and to the commission and to the commands of Christ. And they bring the gospel and they go up to Iconia. And we're told, as is the case right here where we live, and I say that not caring where you're listening, it's true today, right where we live. You bring the good news of Jesus Christ and you commit to it. And almost always there's a wave of initial, ooh, I like that because that looks like that would be good for me. But as we've said, and I use my hand gestures, the gospel, every time it is delivered truly, it will divide the crowd and unify the church. And that's what we saw. In the first account, those who the word of God says almost the entire city wanted to hear more next week. And almost immediately, because of the grumblers, those who would stir up, divide, those who would not bring passion but poison into the mix, says the next week they went from everybody wanting to hear to pretty much everybody driving them out of town. They go from Iconia to Lystra, and we're told that in Lystra, they actually get stoned. And the persecutors pursued them, some as far as 200 miles to get them. And in Lystra last week, right here in the text, the Bible says that they did stone him, and they stoned him so well that they thought he was dead. They dragged him out to disrespect him outside of the city so he wouldn't even have a decent burial. And as I said to you last week, if you were here, comparable and in conjunction with Esther, I think the two single bravest acts that I have seen outside of Christ himself. Esther, who tells us, if I perish, I perish. Paul, who stands up after just being stoned and left for dead, and he goes back into the town of those who stoned him because he has such a love for God and such a love for people. He's going to stand by the door for those who just slammed his head in it. That's a commitment to Christ. Right. Now we're told the next day, after just being stoned, he gets up with Barnabas and they go to this town of Derbe, again, about 50 miles away. I don't know about you, but I get a ingrown toenail and I don't want to walk. Can you imagine being stoned to the point of being thought dead? And to get up and go. I want to show you a map of this. Matthew, if you would put the map up. I want you to get a sense of this. Because we're like, oh yeah, okay, he went again. When you look at this map, you see the distances that are involved. You see the tracking that is involved. These are men who are following directions from the Lord. There is not a natural pathway here. You go where the Lord says to go. You do what the Lord says to do. You be who he's called and created you to be. We'll take a look at that map again in a little bit, but I just want you to get a frame of reference. Right? Why are you going to Derbe? Didn't you get stoned yesterday? Yeah, for the same reason that I went back into town after they stoned me. Because God loves those people, and so do I. Because God has commanded me, us, to go. So I go. And so should you. And those that would try to dissuade you, remember, the devil is in the division. The devil is in the division. He wants to divide and conquer God's people and God's purposes. Happens over and over and over again. And those who selflessly search and seek out serving in the spiritual context of a spirit-led calling, that's the greatest form of Christ-likeness you and I could ever demonstrate to a world who is watching, by the way. And a world who is not only watching, but a world that is dying all around us. Where are you going? Are you going to Derbe? Where's your Derbe? Where's your Lystra? Where might you actually get stoned, but God has called you to? Where's your Derbe? Where is the place that God says, get up and go? I've called you, now go. Do you see anywhere in this scripture, anywhere in all the Bible, where there's a green light given to those that say, well, you know, it's kind of hard. Well, you know, I just think you might get hurt if you go there. Yeah, you might get stoned to death. Do you know and serve a Lord to whom you would say, yes, Lord, no matter what? And are there people around you that are telling you, peace, peace, you don't have to, don't sweat it? When in reality, there is no peace for you now or forevermore if you deny the Lord. Same for me. You don't tell the Lord no and walk in peace. The peace of God, the blessing of God, comes through the obedience, the being in obedience brings the blessing. Those are his promises. When I ask you where you're going, note that in the first verse, just verse 20, in seeing this, it says to us that when they had, that shows you priorities. Paul prioritized. Some things come before other things. When this was done, then that. See that God prioritizes. When they had preached, now you see the purpose. God's people go to proclaim the glory of God. When they had proclaimed or preached the gospel. I want to call you to proclaim the gospel and not a gospel. A gospels will lead people astray. The gospel will call them to surrender to Jesus, the Christ. said they preached the gospel, and in the preaching of the gospel, you find the power of God. And they preached the gospel to the city, to everyone. We invite all, that the church is to look like a quilt. And as we come together in a high school auditorium or in our new facility in the industrial park or in a soup kitchen or in an orphanage in Kampala, Uganda, or anywhere else, we invite all. You preach to the city. You invest in the children of God who come. And it says that they made disciples. They made disciples here. This is the proof again. The people of God are the proof of God. It's in the making of disciples that you see the hand of God. It has nothing to do with how many people gather under a roof, steeple or no steeple. It's how many fully devoted followers of Christ. How many true divine disciples do you see? That tells the story of the ministry. And it says they returned. They returned. Watch what is about to happen. Let me show you the map again. Matthew, if you would put the map up. Verse 21, leave the map up and listen to this. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and to Antioch. You look at that map. If you want to go home to Antioch in Syria, it's a short trip home. Where are you going, Paul? I'm going back to Lystra, Iconia, Antioch. I'm going back to where they stoned me and thought I was dead. I'm going back to where they chased me out of town with physical harm. I'm going back because God loves those people, and so do I. I'm going back because I've been commissioned and commanded by my Christ. And the same commands, the same commitments, the same commission that was given to Paul has been given to you and me, Christian. I ask you again, where are you going? Are you willing to go back to Lystra? Second question, why are you going? Why are you going? Is it out of obligation because I have to? Is it because I'm sick and tired and I'm fed up with this and I'm just going to cut and run? Is it because I don't really want the assignment that was given to me and I'm going to try to get somebody else's assignment or create one on my own? Or is it because you know that you know that you know that you've been called to go and to make disciples, to be a witness empowered by the Spirit of God? Is it because you hear Jesus when he says, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you? Do you go because you know what it is to have been miraculously captured by grace? Do you go because you know that the need is eternal and that damnation awaits those who do not hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what town they live in or where their demographic status may put them on the rungs of societal ladders? Do you go because you know that you know that you know? As Isaiah tells us, that one will become a thousand. If the Lord would use me to just be an instrument of touching one, oh, what reservations in hell might be canceled. What new construction projects might be underway in heaven. Do you go because you know the love of God? I want to show you a piece, a little clip of why we go. This week in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, a community was touched. Words from the trenches, not mine. You all took ground this week for the Lord? Another quote. I've been kind of hiding in a cave. You all have inspired me to be the church. I'm coming out. Watch this. And I pray, let it help you answer the question of why you go.
Of a soul captured by grace. It's my friend Moses, all the way from Kampala, Uganda, who is here to say that Jesus Christ is his Lord and his Savior. Moses, before all your new friends and family, tell us, my brother, why are we here and what are you doing today?
I understand that being baptized does not make me a Christian. However, I'm here to express my faith and
for the rest of your life, Moses, who is going to be your Lord?
Jesus Christ.
And what if it gets hard?
He's there for you.
No matter what?
Good and bad.
Good and bad? Always?
Always.
In Africa?
Around the world.
Around the world. No matter where, no matter when. Forever and ever. And will you follow him no matter what?
No matter what.
Amen. Moses, it is my great honor and privilege before all of your friends and your family to to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Why do we go? Because we don't know what God might do. I know this, that where and when He sends us, you faithfully obey and you watch the most beautiful, most powerful truths come alive. Why did Paul and Barnabas go back? They were going back to what they knew would be unveiled, physical, perhaps deadly threats. They were going back into what they knew would be incredibly hard. They were going back into what would require a total commitment to selflessness. Why? Because they knew that there were Moses Kagoses waiting for them in those towns. And hear me, friend, hear me. Your name, if you're a Christian, belongs in that sentence because somebody was sent for you. Somebody stood by the door for you. So I ask you, where have you been lately? Some of you, praise God, will say, I've been with the King. I've been basking in the glory of Almighty Jesus. And man, am I just can't wait to see what else He's going to do. Yeah, I'm jacked up. I'm not perfect. But boy, have I got a passion to just keep walking with Jesus and keep seeing what He can do. I don't want what the world has. There's nothing in there for me. Have you seen what Jesus does? And in that passion, in the true passion, not religious stuff, but when you know Jesus and you watch Him, you say, I don't care what they think they're going to do to me. You can't steal my joy. You can't take my peace. This is a fruit of the Spirit. This is given to me by God Himself, and you can't take it away. Is this our walk? Is this our message? Is this what we are showing people? I ask you again, there were those who were stirring up division. Are you filled with passion or poison? What are you sharing? Why are you there? Why are you here? Why are you under the umbrella of a professing faith? I pray that like Paul and Barnabas, it's because you know the God that you serve and you love the people that He's called you to reach. You don't have to know them before you go. You know they're there because God said so. He sent you there. And it may be your place to clear the stones or drive the plow or sow the seed or water the seed or weed the seed. Or you might be there at harvest time, but you know the God who sends. And so you embrace being sent. And you embrace selflessly sending because of the Savior that you serve. So I ask you, where have you been? Where are you going? Why are you going? And then look at what is said next, because it begets the question, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you spinning your wheels in religious tradition? Are you holding back in the darkness of a cave on defense, just trying to not lose what you have? Or are you living on offense, embracing the warfare that God has called and created you for as a disciple? Look at what happens next. We see in verse 22, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. Strengthening souls. What are you doing, friend, to strengthen fellow souls? What are you doing personally to strengthen fellow souls? Iron sharpens iron, coming alongside and helping another to be more Christ-like, to be more commissioned, to be more committed to the commands of Christ. Are you strengthening? That's what they're doing. That's what church does. That's what the essence and the environment of being is. We come alongside and we help strengthen the souls. How? By encouraging the disciples, take that word apart. And it's bringing courage to others actively, reminding the church what it is to be the church. It's not, oops, you need to go to a church. Yeah, you need to go do something. No, it's calling us to be. Have the courage to be Christ-like. Have the courage to not only champion the Christ that saved you, but have the courage to go to Derby. Have the courage to go back to Lystra, to go back to Iconia, to go back to Antioch. I don't care who's chasing you. You're an ambassador of the King. Encourage the disciples to be disciples. They are strengthening. They are encouraging. They are urging obedience. They are urging others to obedience. I urge you to accept this admonition to obey. And fourthly, they are inspiring faithfulness. You say, where's the inspiration? They showed up. Aren't you the guys that they tried to kill? Yes, we are. What are you doing? We're standing for our Christ and we're sharing the gospel because you need to surrender. And apparently the first time it didn't work, so I'm coming back. Do you know what might happen to you? Doesn't matter what happens to me. I've already laid down my life for my Christ. You can't kill me again. I died to self. I've been born again. There's nothing here. Nothing here to scare me away. Now, let's just be honest. You know what that talk is? That's crazy talk. Right? Pastor Jeff, that's just crazy talk. You can't expect us to be Paul and Barnabas. Yes, I can. What makes the big hitter the big hitter? The big Spirit of God. And if you're a Christian, you have him. I call you to be who you've been created to be. And recognize that God may use you to strengthen other souls, to encourage the disciples, to urge obedience as it's needed, and to inspire faithfulness. And when that happens, you and I don't know what God might do. But I got a peek at it this week. And so did some others. I want to introduce you to another part of our family, and I want you to see what happens when you're willing at all cost and any cost to be used of God to hopefully strengthen souls, to encourage disciples, to urge obedience, and to inspire faithfulness. I may never have shown you a video as personally inspiring as I find this one to be. I know why we are here. I know why we are there. And I plead with you to come with Jesus.
You want to start? You want me to start?
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm a pilot for American Airlines, and I was on an overnight in Paris, and I was just praying to God, I don't know what's supposed to go on. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried about my kids. I'm worried about me being the dad I need to be because I'm not, we're trying to be faithful and at least show I'm attending church, but I know being a Christian is a lot more than attending church, but I knew that was at least the first step to show them that I was trying to be faithful. And I just felt God's presence there speaking to me that everything was going to be okay, that he was going to take care of us and something was coming. And it was just the most incredible experience. And I got back from that, and I couldn't figure out why would God speak to me? I mean, what? I'm nobody. I'm just somebody who's been plodding along.
Well, like Michael said, we moved up here in 2002, and we'd been married a little over a year when Michael had asked me to marry him. I had told him that, yes, I will marry you, but I will never live in Vermont because that scared me. And Michael, being from Vermont, said, "Well, of course, we'll never, no, we can live here and we can live wherever." And so a year into that, God really placed it on my heart that we were supposed to be up in Vermont. And we were faithful and did that and got up here and really floundered with finding a church community and just support system that we had had where we were living. While we are here, it was a constant seeking and a constant praying for God to help us to meet those needs. And he did in many ways. And Bible studies online with my parent, with my mom, and you know, going to visit people on vacation, and we'd get fed, and we'd give us that oomph to keep going and to keep praying that God would bring a church here to bless our community and to help with our community here. We had known for at least a good 4 or 5 months that there was some change coming. We weren't exactly sure what that was. Like Michael said, he had had that experience in Paris, and while that was an important experience, we still didn't really know what that was. And we had come in contact with Pastor Jeff and Kim about coming and learning more about the homeschool program that we're a part of. And they came, and it was amazing. There was just God touches, I guess, all over our conversation in that evening. And I walked away going, oh, that's just so wonderful. And we're so excited and to see God working. But Michael asked me, he said, oh, are we supposed to join them? You know, we said early on in our marriage that when we saw God working, that was our invitation to join him. And he asked me if we were supposed to join Pastor Jeff and Kim. And I said, absolutely not. That is not. Nope. So God worked on my heart for couple more weeks, and I finally went back to my husband and said, oh, I think you were right. I think God had said yes, and because of my selfishness and my caught up with self, I didn't see that first invitation, I guess, to say. So that's kind of where we're at now. God has invited us to come and has for 13, we've been here since 02, so 13 years. In October, we have prayed for God to bring to us this, and not at all what we thought this would be.
No.
But just we knew we needed this. We needed God to stand firm in St. Johnsbury and the areas around St. Johnsbury. So that's kind of where we're at, is that we're very excited to be joining this, but also anticipating amazing things.
Before I get in, I just want to say, this is really important, not because it's about us, you know, not about, oh, we got a church for us so we can be fed. No, there's actually some people that we have a burden for on our heart that we just haven't known how to deal with it, where to take them, a safe place to bring them. And I'm just really excited because, like, this is going to be a safe place to bring them, as far as safe in the fact that it's God's word and people are going to love them. I know it may not be safe as far as spiritual warfare goes, but it's going to be a safe place that they are not going to be led astray by someone in the church. So, you know, when we had prayed about church, I never thought God would answer it in this way. I thought basically God would maybe answer it by bringing a better church and we'd just be able to spend a little more of our time in it, okay, so we'll have Sunday and Wednesday night and that'll be it, you know. but it would be biblically on. But what I've been experiencing this week is learning what God truly meant by being the church and understanding it a little better than I did at the beginning of the week, and seeing the church at work. And the church is not a building. It's not a place. It's a group of people. It's a group of people that are focused and right this way. And it's just the most incredible thing to watch. And we And Pastor Jeff, in his infinite wisdom, gave us a, from God, wisdom from God, gave us this study on the New Testament church. And I remember reading about it, that they had signs and wonders. And
it didn't say miracles.
It didn't, and I always, you know, thought, oh, they had miracles in the church. They were running around performing miracles. That was the signs and wonders. But, you know, that was just me not paying enough attention to what the Bible is really saying. It's signs and wonders. And I don't know about you, but I was kind of blown away this week by sitting there. And, you know, we say God touches, but it's like major God touches this week. I mean, you see one thing after another where somebody had done something that totally helped this other person out in their need, and God working here and there and together. And it was, I mean, you know, it's about as, should I say, about as probable as evolution for these events to all happen together like that. You know, it's just impossible to say anything other than that it is God's wonders and signs to his people that are so in tune to him that way. And I have to say, I'm still processing it all because I'm just so blown away by it. I can't wait to see what God's going to do, you know, once this is all over and we're all back to, you know, our mission as being out there with our people we know and the people we can invite. I'm just really excited. I can't wait for that. I'm just to see how to recreate what the Bible has as initial church is what I can't wait to do. And I just hope that, you know, some of our other friends that are Christians and stuff can see this and join in, because I would love this for anybody that wants to follow God, that this is, you know, this is what it really is, you know, not being in the desert in a church where you're the only one that's maybe really serious about God, but to be with a group of people that are all on the same, all the same connected to God is, I don't know if you could even describe it really.
I think for me, the excitement and the, what we've seen of the unifying of the group that has been here this week and has opened their arms to us in a way that I don't think I've ever known in the church. And I grew up in the church. So for me to watch these people accept us into this love that they have and this group that they have has been amazing. But I think for me, what this week has given me has been the courage to go, because I know that I have this army behind me and pushing me towards Christ, and not just pushing me towards Christ and keeping that relationship open, but also to give me that courage to be who I need to be in my life with my friends and my coworkers and my children. I think it inspires me, and that seems like such a insignificant word, but it's dry up here. It's desert, and it's desolate. And I'm so thankful to have that that group supporting, and to know that there's not one person in there that would not pray for us as we walk through this journey, and that we would not pray for them or come to their side.
It wouldn't hurt for us if we were hurting.
Or wouldn't hurt, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For us, you know, or the same here. I mean, it was, I mean, a lot of people say, oh yeah, we were friends right off, but usually friendships are not friendships until they're tested. And, you know, you don't know if you have a true friend. But in this case, you know, it's amazing that this is different than the world. The world's, like I said, you have to test your friendship. It takes time. But this thing, with all our focus on God, it was like there wasn't, you were unified. You were unified immediately. It wasn't a process.
Right.
You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like I walked in there and knowing that where their focus was.
Was where our focus was.
I knew we were family.
I think the ability that we're all so vastly, vastly different. So, but can sit and just love those differences. And you can love somebody's differences in the world and be okay with it for a little bit. But we've been together pretty much 24/7, you guys more so than us. And you're still loving each other. And we're still loving each other. And we still feel like we can't get enough, because this is our relationship with Christ is just strengthening all these little relationships around us, you know, as we go. And as we go home, Michael and I always kind of debrief each other. Okay, well, how are you feeling today? And how, what was that? What about this? And we just sit there and we're like, okay, but can we go back? Because we want to see more. You know, we want to see God working more. We want more. And it just gives you that thirst for that time with God. You're and not, and with others who are in that same army working towards the same goal. And they're just confirming what you're hearing.
Amen.
Well, one of the things was the very first day really struck us too is this is one of the ladies that came was crying, and she was crying for her friend that was in pain, and
but not here.
Not here.
But she wasn't here. Yes.
Yeah, her friend was not here. And in typical churches, I think we'd even talked about this week, is like, okay, you know, somebody has a problem in their family, you might bring them a pot roast and say, thank God it's not my family, you know. But that's not the way this family was. This family was crying just like it was their own...
Their pain.
Their pain. It was their pain we were looking at. And that's not something the world does. That's a godly thing. That is a godly sign. And you know, that was... I mean, I'll never forget seeing it, because it's just, it was a God thing. It's not our human nature.
There's all our friends.
Yeah, there they are walking down the street. Matthew, over there.
Can you turn the camera?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, and then one of the other exciting things from this week is that we actually got set up so we can have a life group started up here in Vermont, and you who can actually join us from down there in Maryland, and we're really excited about that, because this is real important that we stay connected with each other and with God.
So. We're not separate. We might be separate in miles, but we're all you, and you're us, and yeah. We're all together, and so. A location of a house might have changed, but this is, we're on this battle and this journey together, so we're not separate. So, and I hope that that location issue would not get in the way of the heart issue, because that's, the location is inconsequential, you know, it's our hearts, where our hearts are, and they're all together, we're in unity in this aspect, yeah. So.
Yeah, we love you guys, we love your church, we love, you know, we.
It's our church.
Yes, our church, sorry, I'm still getting used to that term.
Amen. And amen. That video reminds me so much of a video that I made with Jeff Needles a number of years ago. It shares his testimony to the backdrop of the song, Sweet Jesus. Why do we go? So that we might meet Moses Kagozi. Or that we may be used of God to strengthen the souls of the disciples. To encourage the disciples, to urge obedience and to inspire faithfulness. Your church, Bridge, is now Acts 1:8. We are Kent Island, Maryland. We are St. Johnsbury, Vermont. We are Kampala, Uganda. All for the glory of God, and only by His amazing grace. But when I ask you where you've been, have you been excited about what God is doing? When I ask you where you're going, are you coming along to be His church? When I ask you what you are doing, are you filled with passion or poison? Are you strengthening, encouraging, urging, and inspiring? I pray that you are. I pray that you see why it's worth it. And I ask you the last question from God's Word. What are you saying? You see, one of the things that was so apparent this week is that this is not going to be easy. We literally had two deaths in the family that pulled five of our team members home in the middle of the trip. We had a very serious illness that prevented two from our team from going just before the trip began. Friends, I don't invite you to Disney World. I invite you to discipleship. I invite you to be like Jesus, like Paul and Barnabas. Look at the ministries of the apostles. Look at the ministries of Paul and Barnabas. Look at the life and ministry of Jesus the Christ. My prayer is that we too will have a ministry as the bridge that looks just like theirs. And my prayer for you, perhaps through the instrument of encouraging you, my prayer is that you too will have a ministry such as this. As Paul turned around to go back to Lystra, where he was stoned, and Iconia and Antioch, where they tried to run him out, listen to the words that he shared. He said this, as they were going, he promised that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. He said, Jesus said, I say, I pray you will say, it's not an easy road, but it's a worthwhile road. Are you heading to Derby anytime soon? Are you willing to go back to Lystra? Will you embrace the call to be the church, locally, regionally, and globally? Paul's final words was he was getting them ready for persecution. And he was prescribing perseverance. I say the same to you. Let us pick up the mantle of our Messiah. Let us go be His church, that some, like Moses, we might find, and others, like the Hawkins, we may help to grow. This is what it is to be the church. And I say to you, with a stirring that is very, very hard, if this is not what you want, I have nothing for you. If this is not what you want, the Lord has nothing for you. This is what He died for. This is the bride that He's coming back for. Please, 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 be ready when He comes. Would you pray with me? Lord, I come to you and I just ask you, Lord Jesus, to do with your word what only you can do. I pray for the fires of inspiration to ignite in the hearts of those that know you. Lord, I pray that you will use these truths to inspire some to come for the first time. And I ask you, Lord, to use your Spirit's power and promise to draw others back home who have drifted away in complacency and compromise. Let it be seen as Amy and Michael were so graciously and transparently willing to share with us that the life that is lived in the religious deserts may be in the northeast of our country, may be across the Atlantic, might be right here in the middle of our living rooms on Ken Island. Wherever somebody is, where they don't want to be your church per your prescription with passion, Lord, I pray, please arrest their hearts. Draw them back to you or to you for the first time. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will sour the taste buds of everyone who is snacking on lukewarm religion, everyone that is hiding behind a religious resume. Lord Jesus, please do not let them become complacent in that damnable lostness or that separated state that is quenching your spirit. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be sent once. Thank you for the privilege that it is to find the lost. Thank you for the privilege that it is to help grow the found. Lord Jesus, inspire our faithful obedience, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I've asked Matthew to keep our family kit together. As I close out our time, I know I just prayed. But you see, there's one other question that some might ask. How'd we get here? You're asking me where I've been and where I'm going. How'd we get here? I want you to listen to the words and be inspired by the truth. But I also want you to watch. We got to right here, right now, because last year we prayed and we asked Jesus to do a work that only he could do on the State House Capitol lawn all week long. We are here today because this is the answer to our prayer from last year. Please do not miss that. I invite you to come into a personal time of reflection and prayer. There are two songs that are going to play. I give them to you as an added addendum to the sermon. They speak God's truth. You're dismissed at your discretion. You're welcome to bask in the glory of the cross. It's up to you.
Break every chain, break every chain, break. Jesus' name. You're not welcome here. So go. Just go. You to leave in Jesus' name. Envy and jealousy, you have no place here. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, 'cause I can't raise.